Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Better relationships in life and at work. And now, your host, Victor Schiller.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me on a special Tuesday edition of Positively Empowered Radio. I'm your host, Victor Schiller, and I'm glad to be with you today. How are you doing? Hope it's a good day for you. Hope it's a start of a good week for you. Now, I'm very excited to have the guest that I do today, Holly Kenley. To be honest with you, I hear a lot about the term cyberbullying. And I guess I don't know if it's just because of my age. Although, you know, I had computers when I was going through school, but they were used for much more than word processing or typing. We didn't use them for anything like internet or social media. And I keep hearing this term, cyberbullying, and I think I know what it is, but I'm not really sure if I do, and maybe you're in the same position. And if you're someone who deals with technology, maybe you're very well aware what cyberbullying is, but maybe you're like me, and you're thinking about cyberbullying and saying, well, okay, I've heard of it. It's kind of this buzz word or this buzz phrase, but I'm not really sure what it is. I'm not really sure how serious of a problem it is. I mean, people say that it's the serious problem, but I don't know. Is it a problem? Or you hear someone saying that they're being cyberbullied or stalked, and you're not sure what that means or what the implications are, what the ramifications are, and maybe you are a parent with young children who are going to be exposed to technology, and as technology continues to advance and we have advancing social media out there like Facebook and Twitter, maybe we need to be concerned as parents about being more up to snuff on what cyberbullying is and what the potential is out there, or the potential dangers or the things that we need to look out for. So I'm very, very happy to have the guest that I do on today, Holly Kenley. She's a California licensed marriage and family therapist. She holds a master's degree in psychology with an emphasis in marriage, family, and child counseling. She's worked in a variety of settings, in a woman's shelter, a counseling center, and in private practice. She's done counseling with adolescents, teens, young and older adults, and she has special training and experience in dealing with sexual trauma, abuse, addiction, codependency, domestic violence, betrayal, and cyberbullying. And she just released a little, what we call an e-single, which is Cyberbullying No More, Parenting a High-Tech Generation. And so with that, I'd like to welcome our guest, Holly, to the show. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well, Victor. Thank you so much for having me today. I am passionate about this topic of cyberbullying and so looking forward to our conversation this morning.
So am I. And I know we have a lot to talk about, so I'm just letting the listeners know that if we start getting to the point where we start to run out of time, or we think we're going to run out of time, what I'll do is I will we'll end the show at the normal time, but then what we'll do is I will continue the conversation with Holly, and then I will have it up on the Blog Talk Radio site tomorrow, and you can listen to the rest of our conversation if that's what you're interested in doing. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there. So Holly, how did you, first of all, get interested in the topic of cyberbullying?
Well, first of all, Victor, as you mentioned, as a therapist, that I mainly dealt in the areas of abuse and trauma, and in particular sexual abuse. So many times as clients were coming into the room, into the session, as we were dealing with abuse issues, it would come up, especially around 2004, 2005, and even a little bit earlier. But we would just kind of touch upon that this harmful messages or texts or things that were coming the client's way. So I started just kind of paying attention to it at that time. Also, I was also a high school teacher for many, many years, and I didn't retire from that profession until 2006. And so I heard my students bring it into the room and talking about, a really hurtful text or, something that was on at that time. MySpace was kind of the popular site, a social networking site at the time. So I heard them talking about it, and my ears picked up, and I really, paid attention to it. But then right around 2006 is that the media really started picking up on, tragically, Bullicides, which is an individual who takes his or her own life because of chronic, ongoing, tormenting cyberbullying. And so that really, caught my attention. I was really drawn to, what is going on that this is becoming such a difficult and painful type of abuse and harm. And then again around 2010, well, in 2006, and your audience might have heard of Megan Meyer, and that was kind of a high-profile case, a young lady, an adolescent who took her own life. Then again, there are many other things going on in the news, tragedies going on. In 2010, we had, a couple high-profile cases, Tyler Clementi, freshman at Rutgers University, who took his own life, and then Phoebe Prince, that was in the news a lot. And one of the things that really struck me, aside from just the tragedy of Phoebe taking her own life, is that on her memorial page, Facebook page, is that individuals went on and put very defaming, derogatory comments on her memorial page. And I just started asking myself, what is going on with the human condition? What is going on with people's hearts? And in fact, on a blog, I wrote an article called Hardened Hearts. And so, Victor, I just want your audience to know that what we're talking about today can be sound disturbing, unsettling. It may not be easy for them to hear what I have to share, but I am just so moved by this issue. We have 1 in 5 children who is going to be targeted, cyberbullied in his or her lifetime. And that's a very conservative estimate. The victimization rates are much higher than that because it goes unreported.
Wow.
In the April issue of The New Yorker, and I am going to mention traditional bullying here for a minute, it states from the Prevention of Cruelty on Children, the American Society, for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, that about 160,000 students stay home each day because of bullying and harm that they receive at school.
Wow.
So we are, in my opinion, in a crisis situation, and that is why I'm interested in this topic.
Wow. So just so we're clear on this, because maybe I'm not clear, and from your introduction, I understand a little bit now about what it is, but how do you actually define cyberbullying, or what's the definition of cyberbullying?
That's a really good question, Victor. And there are the experts, they vary a little bit, but I'm going to read to you a definition that is very often referenced in the literature, and this is by a group of experts. Cyberbullying is an aggressive, intentional act carried out by a group or individual using electronic forms of contact repeatedly and over time against a victim who cannot easily defend him or herself. Now, when I first read that definition, actually about 3 years ago, and you mentioned, Victor, that I worked in the area of domestic violence, which I did, is that this definition is very similar to that of domestic violence, of that type of abuse. So one of the things that I think is so important when we're talking about cyberbullying is that even though this might sound kind of harsh to the audience, that this is a form of abuse. When a client comes into my room and I'm assessing for all the different kinds of abuse, whether it's sexual, relational, physical, emotional, whatever it is, this fits in that realm because it is a form of torment. It is a form of intentional harm towards an individual, as you heard in the definition. So I think what really worries me is that we do tend to kind of minimize it. We tend to, and I don't mean everybody, but it just kind of like, well, it will go away, it will get better, and maybe we're kind of making more out of it than it is. But it definitely is a form of abuse. And in fact, among the youth today, a very common synonym for cyberbullying, there's two words, either social cruelty or social combating. Because an individual might say, oh, no, I'm not involved in cyberbullying. And I would say, well, have you been involved in social combating? Well, yes, but everybody does it. So it's really important that we understand. And again, there can be a varying degrees of severity, but it is indeed a form of abuse, and I would assess it as such.
Wow. And I guess sometimes when people think of abuse, they think of obviously physical abuse, that there's mm-hmm. physical harm. Sometimes people will say, okay, well, verbal abuse, because you're verbally saying something that is harmful intentionally, and then there's that emotional abuse. And as you move from physical toward the emotional, it seems like people recognize it less and less and think that it's less and less serious because that physical component is involved. And I'm guessing that the cyberbullying is kind of a step even further down that road beyond the emotional, because you're not physically harming them. You're not verbally saying anything harmful. The emotional component there, you know, usually goes along with either the physical or the verbal. So when people look at it, well, it's done over electronic media or medium, I should say. I think maybe that's why people downplay the severity of it, because they're just typed words. It's not like we're physically hurting them. And I think, do you agree that that may be the reason why people look at it and sometimes brush it off as not being a serious offense?
Absolutely. And that kind of ties into something that we're going to talk about when we get to causation and prevention, that there is that detachment from the perpetrator to the victim, that they're not even in their presence. So that kind of relates to what you're saying, that they can detach themselves from it. And then the other piece that I would just add to that, Victor, and I've kind of alluded to it already, is that sadly and tragically, but because it's becoming such a normative behavior, that I'm involved in social combating, everybody does it. Because it's becoming so normative, we don't tend to see it as being harmful or hurtful or inappropriate, and certainly just not acceptable. The other thing I would add that makes it so difficult and so injurious is that once something is on the internet or out in the cyber world, you know, many times it is almost impossible, if not impossible, to get it down.
Yeah.
So the betrayal, the abuse and the betrayal is chronic, and then it spreads virally.
Yeah.
And so we don't have just one perpetrator or one bully. We have hundreds or we have thousands of people that gang up, individuals that gang up on a victim. So it's just intensified beyond belief. I mean, we have individuals taking their lives because they cannot stand the torment any longer. We know we have a serious issue at hand.
So how serious of an issue is this? I mean, as far as prevalence. When I think of cyberbullying, I'm thinking of adolescents, high school age, college age, but does it extend beyond adolescence into adulthood? What's the prevalence of cyberbullying?
Okay, that again, a great question. let me just speak globally to this for a minute. And,
okay.
and Victor, I've spent several years doing research on this, is that, first of all, we know that anyone who has access to technology and utilizes technology is at risk. Worldwide, most, if not all, developed countries are experiencing this problem. Worldwide, we have the victimization rates varying from 10% to 42%.
Holy cow.
Now, there's several reasons why that, and I'll just name one. I don't want to spend a lot of time, is that we don't have a consistent definition, that it varies. And if we don't have a consistent definition, then lots of times subjects will opt out of admitting to it if they don't have the exact kind of cyber harm that they're involved in. But we know worldwide it's a problem. It crosses all socioeconomic, racial, ethnic, cultural boundaries. Again, if you have access to technology, you are at risk. The only exception to this, again, and this is worldwide, are our special needs population and our GLTB population. They are at higher risk of being targeted and victimized. Now, getting back more specifically to your question, in older research, it used to say that, as I was reading through it a couple years ago, that there tended to, when they surveyed youth from elementary school up through high school, what we know is the more that an individual, the better that they get at technology, the more they know, the more they are like to either be a victim or to be a bully. So it was peaking at about middle school, around eighth grade, and then researchers noticed a dip in high school, and then it kind of leveled off. But in more recent studies, we show, again, that it peaks around middle school, it drops just a little bit, but then back in high school, it continues to go up. So we know that, again, the more proficient that an individual becomes, the more time they spend online, the more they're going to be at risk, or the more they're going to be drawn into the bullying behavior. Because many victims eventually turn and become a bully out of revenge and retaliation. That's a whole other subject area. But so it isn't getting better as people get older. That's the unfortunate part. It's continuing to escalate.
I see. So, and we've kind of hit on this already, but talking about this concept of individuals having a relationship with technology, because you said the more that people are comfortable with technology, know more about technology, they're going to be more likely to either be victimized or victimize other people, or as they bully other people. So why is this concept of individuals having a relationship with their technology important, and how does that relate to the issue of cyberbullying?
This, and again, Victor, this might sound odd to people that they have a relationship with their technology. I know when I've spoken about this with other audiences, they kind of for a minute just hesitate. But think about it. We think about the amount of time that each of us is spending with our technology a day. It has become the dominant means of communicating, interacting, and socializing is through our technology. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying we just do now. That's kind of the way that we are going with our technology. So when we spend a lot of time with something or someone, as we're investing into that, we take on a role, we take on a persona, just like in any kind of relationship. And with that role, there come certain characteristics or attributes as we develop and become more involved in this relationship, because the relationship begins to serve our needs. And when both bullies, were profiled and asked, and this is, again, across many different countries, what is it that you get out of bullying? How does it serve you? And some of the top reasons that they responded to this were it serves their need for power and control. It serves their need to dominate others and to harm and to humiliate and to inject this aggressive behavior onto someone or someone else. So it again, that's so important because we see that it is fulfilling a need of theirs. Many times bullies would respond that they befriended a person through the online sources to fulfill a need of theirs, and then they would use that person. With a victim, a cyber victim, typically these are individuals who are really longing and needing friendship, belonging, acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we may think of it as a technological thing, but we are actually, again, developing a relationship with it that is beginning to serve and fill our own personal needs. And, of course, there's different, you know, extremes to this. There's a healthy balance to that, and then there's an extremely unhealthy piece to that, too. So I'm not saying everybody who spends a lot of time online is a bully or a victim. I'm just saying that this is, if, especially if there's some predispositions involved, some maybe past abuse or, you know, depression or whatever the other issues might be, that they then can be drawn into these healthy or unhealthy roles.
So essentially that technology is just filling the role of, I mean, it's filling the role of a medium by which people can socially interact, but if someone is susceptible or has a past history of this abuse or past trauma, or they are, for lack of a better term, they're ripe for bullying, the technology just is a medium by which they can be bullied by people who they don't have direct or close contact with. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And yet, at the same time, Victor, when they also asked bullies, and there's a cyber bully and a cyber bully victim, which means an individual who was typically first victimized and then turned to bullying for revenge and retaliation. Mm. But one of the top reasons why individuals bullied was for fun.
Yeah.
They thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to discount that, because there's certainly a lot of individuals who are just bystanders, and they're, you know, this has become a normative behavior, and they're doing it for entertainment. It was interesting, in one study that I looked at by two gentlemen, Samir and Hinduja and Justin Patchen, they've been working with middle schools for years, and they're doing incredible work. And in a study that they did in Canada, asking bullies, you know, about their motivations and why they were doing this, they said, well, you know, they do it because what goes on in the cyber world is a different world. It's okay to do it there because you're detached from it, and it's not reflective of what goes on in the real world. And yet in other studies that I've looked at, and some of the just phenomenal experts, another group of individuals who are bullying say, you know what, it's okay to do, it's cool, it's fun, because it's just an extension of the real world. We do this, we traditionally bully, so we're just carrying it over into the cyber world. And to me, that's very frightening, and that's very tragic, because if they don't see any different, I mean, the first example is bad enough, but to just carry it on because it's how we treat one another in the traditional way is even more tragic and disturbing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Holly, I want to ask you another question, because I know that we're kind of bridging, now that we've kind of laid the foundation and we've talked about what cyberbullying is, and just kind of now that we have an understanding of what it is, sort of the background behind why it occurs and so forth, we want to look at what we can do about it. And I know that in the information I got from you, you talk about three different things. You talk about protection, you talk about intervention, and you talk about prevention. And some people might look at that and say, well, isn't that pretty much the same thing? So could you outline for us why it's important to differentiate between those three things, why it's important to differentiate between protection, intervention, and then prevention?
Absolutely. I would love to. You know, Victor, when we get into a car, we put on our seatbelt and we make sure everything's, the mirrors are right, and we drive away and we obey the rules of the road, hopefully. And we do those things because it's going to protect us. We're doing everything we possibly can so that we do not get in an accident, so something, you know, horrible doesn't happen. So we put those protective devices in place. It's human nature, and we don't like to think about this, but we does not mean that we are going to be prevented from either getting into an accident or even causing an accident. I mean, that's the way life is. Mm-hmm. But we're certainly going to do all that we can to protect ourselves.
Yes.
The same thing is true of cyberbullying, of cyber harm, is that we definitely have a myriad of protected devices that we can put into place, that we can give our youth, our children, and ourselves, that can lower the risk of cyber harm. And we need to do that. At the same time, in order to prevent it, when I think of the word prevention, and especially when I'm talking to people in my field, but anyone else who will listen to me, is that if we really want to prevent something, we have to look at the cause. I mean, we're not going to do away with technology. We love it. It's wonderful. It brings so many amazing things into our lives. But there's something else going on with the human condition, that people are betraying each other so easily, so readily, so quickly. And so we need to look at those causes, and we need to address the causes, because then when we do that, we can really get a handle on preventing this. And then when I talk about intervention, that's when there cyber harm has been done. There has been cyber abuse, and so then we want to look at ways that we can help either the bully or the victim to move in a more healthy direction in their lives. So that's when I think of intervention, that's what I think of, although there is some crossover and overlap with each one of those.
Absolutely. All right, Holly, what we're going to do is actually we're going to stop the discussion here. This is a nice breaking point, and then what we'll do is we'll continue. So for those of you who are listening, we'll continue, and you'll get the rest of our conversation tomorrow. And then what we'll do is we'll be talking about the next parts of, or the next components, which are very important, which are in regard to protection, intervention, and then also the prevention, like we had mentioned. So, Holly, hang on. And
okay.
For the rest of you, thank you so much for joining me today on Positively Empowered Radio. Please tune in again tomorrow, and I will have another clip, another show of the continuation of my discussion with Holly about cyberbullying. Thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you hopefully tomorrow. Thank you very much. Take care. Goodbye.